Joseph Church. Our precious mother years ago, Mother Gibbs, say you must be born again. You can do a lot of stuff and have a lot of things on your resume, but you must be born again. First person to do something and be renowned and have a legacy, but you must be. You can have your name on the church roll. Amen. But you got to have your name on the right roll. You must be born again. Amen. Amen. Good evening, Fort Clark Baptist Church. My goodness, what a joy to stand here in your midst. I've been, if I were an NBA player, I would want to play in Madison Square Garden. If I played in an NFL, I'd want to play in that Dallas Cowboys stadium. If I played tennis, I'd want to play Wimbledon. Yes. But man, if you're a preacher, you got to come by Fort Clark. Amen. So it's a good thing to be here tonight with all of you, my brothers and sisters. God bless you, Pastor Roberts and Reverend Johnson, to your first ladies, amen, to each of you of the Fort Clark Church, any other visiting churches, and in particular, amen, to the Emerald City, amen, the Green Hill Baptist Church, amen. We are so, Pastor, we are so thankful, so elated to be here. For this great revival. You're right, we're both in revival at the same time. And so we've been at it all week at Green Hill since Sunday. Amen. And there had been a big crowd. It went up to a family reunion. So everybody's tired. So I better preach fast before someone goes to sleep, including myself. Amen. But we're excited about being here and being with you. Thank you so much, Pastor, for the invite. I looked at the bulletin and I saw those great giants. Amen. Y'all had Jenny Ray up in this place. My goodness, I don't know. All right. But it's good to be here. We thank God. Pray with me if you will. Father, in Jesus' name, your name is excellent above all names. Even at your name, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Tonight, oh God, you have brought us a mighty long way. And you have planted us here at the Fort Clark Church that we might speak revival to one another. Oh God, stir us now by your Holy Spirit. Let every word that we utter, let every flutter of our hearts be toward you. Speak, oh God, to us tonight. Oh God, speak to us. Let us go out of this place better even than when we came into this place. We pray anointing on this church and this church family, oh God, that you would continue to bless them and build them and send them out, oh God, to do great works in your name. Bless all of us here tonight, oh God, that we might not only be hearers of this word, but also doers of the word. Speak now, Holy Spirit, we ask it in Jesus' name, that someone might be saved and that we all would be revived. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, it's good to be here. All right. Grab your Bibles. I won't prolong this too much. And go to the New Testament. Amen. I'm sure that the Lord has done and been doing some great things in your revival all this week. And we certainly at the Green Hill Church can testify to that. We have heard some mighty preaching, testimonies, and singing, and our hearts are made glad. And so as we come tonight, we are literally got some momentum going. Amen. Amen. So if nobody else says amen, Green Hill, y'all ought to be saying amen. So the Lord just continues to bless us. It's good to see some of our mothers out tonight. Mother Lily, God bless you, baby. She's always there. The van rolls and Mama gets on that thing. I see Mother Reynolds out there. God bless you. Amen. Sister Lottie, amen. Sister Quarles, amen. All of you. And even the young ones, amen. Amen. Ruth is in there. Amen. Praise God. And Uncle Joe, you look good. I like that suit, man. You sharp. Man, you T.D. Jake sharp. Go on, brother. All right. Praise the Lord. Luke, the sixth chapter. Luke chapter 6. Amen. This chapter is full and chocked with great teaching and experience from the Lord. And Luke, the doctor, the physician, amen, accounts in a peculiar and unique way the happenings and the life and times of Jesus the Christ. But in the sixth chapter, all the way toward the latter portion, so many things are going on. The apostles are there, the 12 apostles, blessings, talked about judging, love for your enemies, talked about the tree and its fruit. But in this final section, it's where we want to tarry tonight for just a little while. Amen. Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 46. And we're going to read four verses, 46, 47, 48, and 49. Amen. Amen. If you have found that, I'll say it like my brother said earlier, rest on your feet. I like that. Rest on your feet. If you go to Palmetto Richland, Baptist, Providence, and other places around town, there are some people that cannot rest on their feet. Amen. And so if you have an opportunity, if you have the strength, do that in honor of the word. Amen. And celebrating your strength. Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 46, and to the end of the chapter says this. Why do you call and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent came and struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Amen. 46 to 49 of Luke chapter 6. May the Lord bless us from the hearing and reading of this eternal word. Amen. You may be seated. In the house of God. Mississippi Mass Choir sang a song years ago that's been running in my head all day. I want to just sing a chord of it. Me. Amen. Amen. With Luke 6 as the backdrop and the foundation, I want to go to a familiar place. I suspect for most of us and many of us who have been in the church for a while, and I want to let the Holy Spirit speak tonight from this subject. First, giving honor to God, who's ahead of my life. Since I was a little boy, growing up in Winston-Salem, as the pastor said, I have heard this bold and dramatic and historic salutation of the church and in the church. It is a well-known and well-used greeting among the saints. I suspect somebody even popped up tonight and said, first, giving honor to God, who's ahead of my life. Amen. And I emphasize that it is used among the saints, that phrase, that saying, because I find that it is exclusively used and spoken in the church. To my recollection, I have never heard anyone use this refrain in other settings outside of the church. Pastor said I was in the Army for a good while, and even now I took a little job, try to keep my wife at the level she's accustomed to. stop it. Amen. 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 Pray for me. Pray for me, as Susie would say. Amen. Amen. But even now, I've got a little contract job. I'm over at the Chaplain School of Gang. Amen. And, of course, that is the institution where all U.S. Army clergymen, chaplains, and chaplain assistants go to for their periodic training throughout their careers. At some point, if you are a chaplain assistant, if you are a chaplain, you will go to what we call USACS. Amen. So daily at USACS, there is a gathering of ministry and military professionals, instructors, whose key purpose is to train and develop these men and women who have the 56 skill identifier on how to provide and perform religious support to military families. But even there, at USACS, an institution's of seemingly religious environment, august in its history, I have never heard an instructor or a student begin a class or ask a question or say anything by saying first, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. I'm also, as the pastor noted, a student right now. Pray for me, amen, at CIU, at Columbia International University. That is a Christian-based university over toward the west side of town, amen, out 20 and then up Monticello Road. And they unapologetically confess and profess the man and the person of Jesus Christ. But never in any of my classes have I heard a professor or a student stand and say, first, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. Imagine, church, what it would be like if we used this greeting as we stood at the counter at McDonald's, and a young man, a young woman said, can I help you? And before we gave our order, we say, first, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. I'll take a number four with iced tea. Well, suppose you were about to go, Brother Speed, and drop off your car for repair. And you gave the man the keys and you said, first, giving honor to God, who's the head of my life. Check my battery, check my brakes, and inflate my tires. Went to the barbershop the other day and I was thinking about it. I sat in the chair and the barber said, well, how do you want it cut? Suppose I'd said first, in honor to God, who's the head of my life. Give me a high and tight, a little bit off the top. Would it be appropriate, church, I wonder, to announce this to the cashier at IGA or at Kroger? She tells you, your total is $125.62. Just put your card in, and before you do, you say, well, first, honor to God, who is the head of my life. Slide your chip in. You know, I think I might try that tonight with First Lady before I give her that good night kiss. Say, first, giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, First Lady. You know, church, when we say this, when we stand and announce this, we are literally, as God's people, throwing down the gauntlet. We are telling the world where we stand, with whom we stand, and how we stand. And I wonder, though, because we say it so much and so easily it floats from our lips, I wonder if we truly understand the seriousness of this statement. For just a few moments, amen, don't want to keep you long. But for a few moments, let's look at this. Let's examine this prolific proclamation. So we say first. When we declare first, what we are doing, we are establishing priority. The first thing takes priority over all other things. It is absolutely essential, church, that we get this right. Amen. As people of God, as we are trying to be revived in this season, amen. Because if we get it twisted, if we get this thing turned in the wrong direction, we will be in trouble. If we put the horse before the cart, amen, on this matter, we will find ourselves disconnected, amen, from our power source. If we place this point second, or we do this third, or if we get after this after we've taken care of some other things, amen, some other business, then we will have no direction for our journey. But first, see, if I get married first and then try to give God some honor, my marriage is probably going to see some cracks. If I decide to sing in the choir first and then give God some glory, I'm just going to be a noisy cymbal. If I go and get my education first and then try to seek God, I'm just going to be an educated fool. If I decide to take care of my children's needs first without consulting God, giving God the glory, without giving God the praise, my children won't really have a dad. They just have somebody in the house dishing out money. Poor parental decision. Unless we honor God first, we will discover that we have missed the central point of our lives. When we say first, we are saying, Pastor Roberts, that nothing else comes before giving God honor. When we say first, we are declaring that there is nothing more important than this. Nothing that I can say, nothing that I can do that is more important than giving honor to God. My family is not first. My job is not first. My education is not first. Nothing is first. God is first. We must get the priorities straight. If we are going to be effective and revived children of God, no matter what I have on my agenda to do, on my to-do list, I must first attend to this. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. Amen. So, first things first. Now, secondly, what exactly does it mean to give God honor? First, giving honor to God. What do you mean by that? Well, to understand that, we must understand first God's glory. Did you know that God has glory? Did you know that he is a glorious God? Did you know that he dwells in his glory? The words glory and honor, amen, are closely related. They're not synonyms. They're closely related, amen. To glorify God means to give glory to him. Amen. To give glory to him, we must recognize who he is. Amen. Somewhere in the scripture says, those that come to him must first believe that he is, and that he is a reward of those who diligently seek him. The word glory, as related to God in the Old Testament, bears the idea of greatness and splendor. And God is undoubtedly great. God is by all means splendorous. Amen. And when we look at God and we look at the creation of God, we see his splendor. We see his greatness. Amen. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows forth his handiwork. When you look in your brother or your sister's face, you see God's glory because this is God's creation. First, giving honor to God. We must understand God's glory. God's glory means dignity. It means praise. It means worship. And when we put these two words, glory and honor, together, we find that glorifying God is to acknowledge his greatness. Have you thought about how great God is today? I know you've been busy, things to do and places to go and food to eat. But have you thought about the greatness of the Lord? How mighty he is. Have you looked up at the sky? Have you noticed the trees as you were passing by? Did you see the face of a child? Do you know how great God is? Do you see his splendor? It's all around. God is a great God. God is an awesome God. God has splendor. He has glory. His greatness and his splendor, his honor, gives him an unsurpassed identification. Why? Because he alone deserves to be praised. Thank you, Pastor, for the bio. But man, don't get caught up on that. Please don't get caught up on that. God alone deserves our praise. God alone deserves our glory. God alone deserves our honor and should be worshiped. So God is exclusive, and he does not share his glory. Amen. I can't have a little bit, and then he can have a little bit. No. God gets all the glory. God's glory is the essence. It's the essence of who he is, of his nature. And when we give God glory by recognizing that essence, we in fact honor him. When we see and acknowledge God's glory, we are honoring him. So when you stand up and say, first, giving honor to God. Do we know what we're saying? We're saying that we recognize his glory. We recognize his awesomeness. We recognize his omnipresence. We recognize his omniscience. God is a mighty God. When we say giving honor to God, we give him honor because God has glory. And when he has glory, we praise him and we worship him. And that's why we've come here tonight. We're here for the past three nights because we've come to worship God, because he deserves the glory. He deserves the honor. Him and him alone. We recognize his glory. We follow the instructions in the first book of Chronicles. It says, ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. That's why you're here. You didn't come here to look at me. You didn't come here to try to get a date. But we come here to worship the Lord, to give him praise. Because he is a wonderful God. He is a glorious God. He deserves our praise. Every day, all day, ascribe to the Lord. The glory and honor and strength. So we ascribe and we give glory to him because it is his due. He's due our praise. Did you know you were created? I was created to praise God. I wasn't created to get married. That's a nice thing. I'm very happy about that. Don't forget that kiss tonight. First, giving honor to God. We weren't created to run for political office. We were created to give God glory, to give God praise, to worship him in the beauty of holiness. And that's why we're here. Amen. That's why we're trying to stir up the gift, trying to revive ourselves in these latter days so we can get back to what we were created for, to worship God, to praise God, to call upon him, to give him praise. Amen. He deserves all of the glory. No one else deserves the praise. No one else deserves the worship we must glorify him. Isaiah's book in the 42nd chapter says, I am the Lord. This is my name. I will not give my glory to another or praise to idols. So, because of his magnificent glory, we have no other option, church, but to praise him and to give him honor. So when you stand up and say, oh, you don't have an option. You can't give honor to nobody else but to God. He deserves the honor. He deserves the praise. He deserves the worship. God and God alone, first giving honor to God. Before I do anything else, I want to give honor to God. Before I go to work, let me give honor to God. Let me give honor to God. Because he's been mighty good. I tell you, he's been mighty good. I'm looking out at y'all tonight. And I can see he's been good to you. So we've got to give him honor first. Giving honor to God. Oh, glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can give you honor. And you deserve the honor. First, giving honor to God. So, when we glorify God, we bring him honor. Now, Webster's Dictionary defines honor as to revere and to respect, to treat others with deference and submission. From this definition, amen, we see that, watch out, we see that submission to God's authority, amen, is the key to true honor. So be careful about what you're saying. First, giving honor to God. There's some submission wrapped up in this little cute verse that we've created. Amen. To say honor God, we are honoring his authority. Amen. In our lives. So to refrain from submission to God's authority and obedience to God's authority is to deceive ourselves. First, giving honor to God. Okay. To honor authority is to submit to authority. We dishonor authority by not submitting to authority. And when we dishonor what God has established, amen, we also cheat ourselves from his blessing. First, giving honor to God. Amen. God said, this is what he said in Samuel. Those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. When we honor God, we are showing, we are demonstrating the high regard that we have for God. When we honor God, we are reflecting, we're like a mirror, we are reflecting God's glory back to him as praise and worship. As God blesses us and he keeps us and he brings us out and he turns us around and puts our feet on solid ground, we reflect his glory back to him. When God's glory shines on us, we respond by praising him, by worshiping him, by loving him, by loving his creation, by loving one another, by being obedient to his authority. Did you know that God has authority over you? Some of y'all said, no, I did it my way. God has authority over you. How do I know this? Because you said, first, giving honor to God, who's ahead. You thought you were in control. You thought that you were calling the shots. You thought those were your car keys. You thought that was your house. You thought that was your husband and your wife. Nada. Who's ahead of my life. God is in charge. God's authority rules. God rules and he super rules. God God's authority is over us if we call ourselves children of God. When we honor God, we honor his authority. Now, please don't stand up in a public audience and announce, first giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, if in fact God does not have authority in your life. Because it will show. Because folk know the head of your life. Man, God ain't no head of your life. I saw you such and such. If he was the head of your life, you wouldn't have cussed me out. The only way that God can be the head of your life is that he has authority in your life, in my life. So if God has authority in my life, let's see. That means that I can't be the head of my life. If God is the head of my life, my bank account can't be the head of my life. If God is the head of my life, my political preference can't be in charge of what I say and what I do. I must be in line with the authority of God. First, giving honor to God, who's the head of my life. God is in charge. God's authority rules my life. God's authority tells me where to go. God's authority tells me what to say. God's authority teaches me the right way. God's authority, because he's the head of my life. If God is the head of my life, if he's the head of your life, watch this, then trials and tribulations don't disturb you. Because I think he said, in this life, he gave us warning. It wasn't like it sneaked up on us. I didn't know that. I didn't know I was going to have no trouble. He said it in his authoritative word. In this life, you will have tribulation. But it doesn't end there. There's a comma. There's something in there that says, but be of good cheer. The authority said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome. Trials may come, burdens may weigh us down, but that's all right. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. If you got burdens, say, cast all your burdens, all your cares on me. Anybody got any cares out here? I've got some cares, but we've got a way out. He says, cast your cares on me. Yeah, I'm not afraid, because the Lord is my light and he's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? There are things that try to make me be afraid, but whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? God is my authority, and he tells me he's the head of my life. And as the head of my life, I'm going to follow him. As the head of my life, I'm going to listen to him. As the head of my life, trust him and lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge the authority, and the authority shall direct my steps. Yes. Giving honor to God. I give him honor first, because I better not do anything else. I must trust him first. I must go to him first. I must call on him first. I must pray to him first. First, giving honor. I must honor God, because he is glorious. He is mighty. He is all-sustaining. God is a mighty God. I love him, and he loves me. First, giving honor to God. I honor you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You brought me from a mighty long way. I give you all the honor. Have the honor, God. Because you are the head of my life. I tried to do it my way. a bright idea, but failed every time. But since you are, since you have been the head of my life, oh, I'm not disconsolate. That's all right. Troubles may come. Trials may come my way. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. His rod comfort me. He's the head of my life. Who's the head of your life? Who do you give honor? LeBron? Are you honoring Beyonce? Go ahead with your bad self. I'm going to honor God first, giving honor to God. Head of my life. Head of my life. How do I know he's the head of my life? Because he came down through 42 generations and he died at Calvary's cross and he died for me. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I was in that group. I didn't know what I was doing, but he died for me. They put him in a tomb for 2 days. And on the third day, he got up with all power. With that power, amen, he is the head of my life. I'm so glad he's the head of my life. I'm so glad I found out he's the head of my life. I'm going to give him glory. I'm going to give him praise. I'm going to worship him first. So, when we stand up in our religious gatherings, amen, and we make this declaration, when we declare this proclamation, when we stand in front of everybody and preface what we're about to say by saying first, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, I pray, my brother, I pray, my sister, that you would think deeply about that thing and see where you are. See where you are standing. Is God truly receiving honor from you? Amen. Where is your honor going to? When is it going? Are you doing it first? Or do you get to it maybe on Sunday? Maybe if I get the Bible said, I give God a little honor. Amen. If I can remember to read my Bible, well, maybe I will. But we must do it first. We must give God the honor because he's a glorious God. He's a glorious God. And if you honor him, if you believe in him, he will accept you and he will take care of you as the head of your life. First, give an honor. Give an honor. And that's what he's made us, and that's what he's brought us this far for, that we might give him honor. First, priority. Get your priorities straight. First, once your priority is straight, then look around you. Look at the glory of the Lord. It's all around. We can't escape it. If your eyes open this morning, even your ears perceived what was going on around you, that was the glory of God. The Bible says, Jeremiah says, morning by morning, new mercies. Do you know right now that God is busy getting those new mercies ready for tomorrow? We're going to get a, Brother Mickey, we're going to get a boatload of new mercies tomorrow. That's the glory of God. And that's why we give him honor, because he's a mighty God. He's a wonder-working God. He's a powerful God. He thinks about us. How think about it? He thought so much of us that he sent his only begotten son for us. For us. So he deserves the honor. He deserves the praise. Worship. Up holy hands. He deserves it. When we shout out aloud, he deserves it. When we pray to the Lord, he deserves it. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're mighty good all the time, all the time, all the time. Thank you, Lord. First. Because he's the head of our life. You got to deal with that authority. I let go of the steering wheel. I didn't know where I was going. But now I'm safe in the arms of Jesus. And I just go where he wants me to go. Say what he wants me to say. I'm so glad he sent me by 4 o'clock tonight. I'm glad I got a chance to come by here and tell you how much I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. Yes, I love Jesus. Woo! Woo! Finish you. The pastor said, finish it. Lifting up.